I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, and welcome to Brent and Cliff's Flea Circus. I'm Cliff.
Oh, yeah.
<I'm right. laughs>
Is that you?
Is it me?
And I'm Brett.
I wasn't sure which one of the pictures I was talking to there, but I think I'm me.
Do you have fantasies of becoming me, Cliff?
Not for the last 7 years.
Because I sure I do, of becoming you.
Not for the last 7 years, Brett.
7 years? Why was that cut off? What have I done in those 7 years?
When we finish this, have a think about what happened 7 years ago.
I don't know what happened 7 years ago. Jesus.
Anyway, how are you doing? It's been a long time since we did this over the video.
Yes.
Sitting over here, you can see the windows behind us, the lights. I can see the haunted mirror.
You can.
What t-shirt?
I know
wearing?
That you enjoy it. It's the thing. That's what I've got on today.
Oh, yes, the face with the lights coming out of it.
Yeah, that's correct. Yes, the best film in the world. And I can see that you're dressed as Mumford and Sons.
Yes, I've sporting a beard. And
sporting a beard.
A check shirt. And if you're looking, I'll stamp on the floor with my foot a bit while I'm talking to you.
I think you should. Did you ever hear what Liam Gallagher said about Mumford and Sons? That they all look like Amish people, look like they've got knits, and they look like they should be putting barns up.
Well, no, I agree with them.
Well, there you go. Hey, Mumford and Sons, not the Sons, just the Mumford. I've been watching Ted Lasso with the wife. The first series is really good. Really enjoyed it. Second one, not so good. But there you go. But Mr. Mumford does the theme tune.
Yeah, he's got a album out. You know, I think I might like it if I listen to it, so I've not approached it.
Well, the theme tune from Ted Lasso is good.
It is, yeah. He did a thing, this Bob Dylan thing, where the kind of...
He's always doing things with Bob Dylan,
I know, but
he?
This Bob Dylan, you know, the Basement Tapes? I know there's 20 songs that never got released off that, and he was part of this group of different musicians that recorded those, and I think they did a stage show. It's meant to be good. He also did the music on that that Coen Brothers film that's meant to be about Bob Dylan but with a cat.
With a cat.
Have you seen that one?
I certainly haven't.
I haven't seen it either, so let's move on.
Let's move on from that. Let's pretend that doesn't exist.
Yeah. Mumford and Sons, Ted Lasso, the second has there only been two series so far?
Yeah, two series, it's nice to watch with your other half.
It is, isn't it? I think that's the thing. I think it got popular because it came out in a time when everything was really bad. And probably if it came out again now, it would have the same effect because things have continued to be bad despite a big virus going away. But I think it's just nice, wasn't it? It's all right.
Have you seen it?
It's funny. Of course.
Have you seen it, Cliff?
I told you about it.
Have you? Did you tell us about it?
I tried talking to you about it before and you were like, no way.
So have you seen both series?
I have. Second series, they try to take it in different places, don't they? And I'm not sure it works
Yeah, I agree. I mean, but the wife, God bless her, she was very intuitive of the second series, because the first one came on and she went, "Hey, that Nate's a cunt." So there you go. What's he spitting on mirrors for?
Ridiculous, isn't it? Horrible.
Horrible, that.
Also, what was I going to say about it? I don't like that man's gruff voice.
You don't like his gruff voice? Does he write it as well?
Yeah. He's a comedian, apparently. Well, I've not seen any of his comedianness. Just seen him on that.
He's comedy. No. I don't think I've ever seen that man before.
No, me neither.
Sometimes, yeah, I think I'm watching Footballers' Wives.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? It's got that kind of vibe to it as well. And the other thing that I don't like, I mean, it's very good. It's a good thing to watch with your wife. But, like, I don't like how they're getting the English actors to use American words. For example, throughout the show, they keep saying the locker room. We don't call it the locker room.
What would you call it, Brad? The boot room?
It's the changing rooms. It's where Lawrence and Llewellyn Bourne lives. That's what it is. Wouldn't
like
it be nice to
man?
See him getting changed, though, Cliff?
I'd like to see him in a room getting changed. That's exactly what I'd
like. I would. I tell you what, I would.
I would, yeah. I'd also like to see George Clark in an amazing space.
He wouldn't know what to do, would he? His head would explode.
He's lovely blue eyes just popping out of there.
Lovely
head.
Blue eyes. Uh-huh. Anyway, he's a fake Geordie, isn't he? He's a fake Geordie.
What do you mean?
He's putting the accent on. What do you mean, like? Well, it's almost like he's putting the accent on.
Well, he lives in Bolton and he goes to the Sunderland games. I used to get on the metro with him to go to the match.
Forget about that, man.
Well, he's a Macam, if anything.
Is he?
I think he's a nice fella. Anyway, you went to see Ian Brown do karaoke last night, so tell us what it was like, because he's coming for a lot of stick this week.
Yes. You put us on to the Twitter sort of furore of his first gig in Leeds, wasn't it, on Tuesday?
Yeah.
And obviously I put it on and I thought, ooh, that doesn't look very good.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
It didn't sound very good, did it?
No. But to be honest, Cliff, what does sound good on a mobile phone?
Nothing.
Nothing at all. So it could have been anything. It could have been, anybody in the world.
I didn't listen to it, to be honest. I just read the thing.
He was fucking amazing.
Was he? Good. What did he do with the karate moves and that?
He did a couple of high kicks.
Okay.
No, he was absolutely mental. I took my son. It's the first gig he's ever been
class.
I took my niece. People were having a brilliant time. Everybody was having a brilliant time. And Ian Brown was absolutely class. He was amazing. And I went to see Ian Brown. I didn't go to see, his band or whatever. It was a bit strange.
Explain it.
Basically, it was just Ian Brown with a guy, lights behind him. A bit. He loves Michael Jackson, doesn't he?
Well, yes.
He loves Michael Jackson. And it was a bit like that, do you know what I mean? But he pulled it off. It was just a guy playing the music on his computer, computer thing, and lights. But the music was mint because Ian Brown's got some brilliant songs.
Yeah.
And he was up. Yeah, is he 60, Ian Brown?
He's got to be close to it.
Yeah. He was absolutely class. He was absolutely brilliant. I had a brilliant night. Everybody did. He did all of them. Yeah, he did all. Just the Ian Brown stuff. None of the Stone Roses stuff.
Oh, he didn't do any of that? Okay. I've seen him once where he did Stone Roses stuff. And yeah, I wasn't that asked about. I wasn't that asked about him doing Stone Roses stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was mint. I mean, I think people have got an agenda against him because of what he said, in the past and stuff, haven't they?
Well, he's just been a bit daft, hasn't he, on the old social media.
It's his opinion.
I'm not bothered what
he's
says.
I'm not bothered. I don't think he's an idiot. I really don't. I think he was a proper showman, and it was just him, and it took balls to do that. You know,
really?
I mean, stand on stage, sing your songs.
Lovely kung fu outfit on.
He had like this funny jacket on, like this puffer jacket.
Davey was there. Did you finally meet up with Davey?
I didn't see Davey. No, I didn't see Davey there. No, I didn't see him. I didn't see anybody I knew.
Okay. And what did Lennon and Millie think? Has Millie been, I presume that was the niece that went with you?
Yes. Yeah.
Has she been to gigs before?
Millie's been to a few gigs and stuff, but I think not anybody of the caliber of Aveen Brown.
Okay.
I think she's been to see Wet Legs.
Okay.
Whoever they are.
Yeah, well, they're all right. I like them.
Well, there you go.
Couple of lasses in it with guitars.
Oh, well, she's been to see them. But they absolutely love this. Honestly, they were like buzzing.
Well, Lennon, did you let them have a beer?
I certainly did. Okay. I went to buy him a beer. The lights were very bright. So I was a little bit worried that the stage hands would catch him. It was at the City Hall.
Oh, was it? Okay. Seen some cracking gigs there over the years. Good, good.
Yeah, so Vic,
glad you all had a good time.
We did indeed. It was wonderful. It was excellent.
You know what happened last time I saw you?
What happened?
Well, I had a great time last time I saw you, where we saw each other in person.
Well, hey, Cliff, we're very drunk.
You were more drunk than me on the doubles.
No. I don't think so.
I'll tell you what. Let's see how drunk we both were. I was up at 6 a.m. for a flight and didn't go to work. So
that is true. But that was because of something I ate.
Okay, well, fair enough. Must have been something you ate when you got in, because we had nothing to eat all day.
Hey, what the with us?
Oh, no, we did.
Yeah, you see. Uh-huh. It's because you got very angry because what did you get, scampi or something? And I said, Cliff, they're asking if you want normal peas or mushy peas. And you went, I want normal peas. Mushy peas are a disgrace. And then your scampi came out and it had a little tiny bit of mushy peas on the chip.
Should have been no idea.
You were absolutely furious about that.
I was apoplectic.
You certainly were. You almost just turned the table over.
But anyway, I had a lovely day that day. As I've mentioned before, I'm not going to go into it, but I was back for sad reasons. But spending the day with you, just reconnecting in person and going out and talking about all that daft stuff and serious stuff, because I think we've known each other for long enough. You're probably the only person where I don't mind being completely honest with, which is rare for me. And I just had a great day because of it. It was good for the soul after a trying day beforehand. And I thank you very much for doing that.
There's no thanks needed because the sentiment is completely right back at you.
Okay, well, thank you. But so the next day I went on the plane, obviously.
I've never said this before, Cliff.
What?
But the feeling's mutual.
Okay, thanks.
I always wanted to say that.
Vice versa. So the next day I got told off on the plane because I took my own beer on and they weren't happy with that.
And did you, in an Ian Brown style, threaten to chop the stewardess' hands off?
Chop your fucking hands off.
Chop your fucking
hands
off.
And I also had a go at her beard. She was very upset, the woman. You can't bring your own beer on here. I was like, well, for a start, I finished it all now, so nothing you can do about it.
Fine. What are you going to do? Was she dressed in that strange outfit? Was it Air Emirates?
It wasn't. I was on KLM, Royal Dutch Airlines.
Well, the Dutch are very fussy, aren't they?
Well, if people, I don't think we're allowed to stand on. Anything goes in our
company. Exactly. Who are you to be telling me the rules?
There's definitely no rules about bringing your own booze on the plane that you buy in the airport. I've done it on almost every flight I've ever been on.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody gets the little miniatures, don't they?
I had one small can of beer is what I took on.
They saw you coming there, Cliff.
Well, like I say, I had it, so whatever. But on the plane, I know we've talked about playing films and that before, but I started watching that film about Nicolas Cage where he plays Nicolas Cage. Have you seen it?
No, is it any good?
I enjoyed it up to the point I fell asleep, and then I woke up and I thought, I don't want to watch the rest of that film, so I don't know.
So it's not that good then, is it?
It was all right, but I've got no desire to watch the rest of it.
It's not one that I seek out. I haven't even seeked out the pig one, so.
Well, that one's
you
cool.
know.
So I got back at like midnight, whatever, left home at 6 a.m. and got back here at midnight, up early the next day for work. Got in from work the next night, and Jane was going out to a fancy do. So we only had like a little crossover. But she, it was a fancy
Strangers
do.
In the night.
Yeah, ships in the night. she had organized somebody to come and do her makeup for her, like a professional and that, because she wanted to look nice for this night out. Guess what happened there? Sounds perfectly normal, right? That's all right.
That sounds okay. Did you get in there and start putting it on, you know, your own face?
But I had a proper Clifford. So What happened? Bathroom sealant started leaking.
do you have a bathroom seat?
Bathroom seat got out.
Oh, you shouldn't have let him out.
He hadn't finished installing the LED pictures.
The bathroom sink.
No, the bathroom ceiling started leaking, like pouring out, so I had to try and get workmen around, obviously, to fix it.
Uh-huh. Were they Sikhs?
Hindus, I think.
Hindus, oh, well, that's a shame. They could have saved the other Sikh.
I was trying to arrange.
From your clutches?
I could have done, but he's back now anyway.
he's back and he's little. So
I'm waiting for those lads to come round. Mm-hmm. There's a knock on the door. It's the makeup woman. Oh, she's just brought a 12-year-old son with her just to sit in the house while she's doing the kids' makeup. So I just end up babysitting the 12-year-old lad for a couple of hours.
Whilst your house is flooding.
Yeah, and Jane's just sitting getting her makeup done, which is fine. That was all planned. There's nothing wrong with that. But it was very stressful coming back home. I need an early night. It was about 11 o'clock by the time I fucking sat down.
Did you entrust the young boy to capture the Sikh and return to his rightful place?
The young man was silent for the entire time he was there. 2 hours, didn't say a single word. To be fair, he was no bother. It wasn't hard to look after him, but it wasn't really what I wanted to do.
Not much of a Clifford then.
But then next day I went to work and my car stopped working. The gearbox went, so I just had to sit under a bridge for about 2 hours waiting for someone to come and get the car.
Guess what? That's made it worse. Yes.
Not back yet. It's about 10 days later. I put it on a truck. And it's just never been seen.
And it's gone. Hey, I've broken down once, I think. But the wife told us this man to ring who she knew, and he came and sorted it out. But I've never had like an accident. To be honest, I wouldn't really know what to do, Cliff.
No, I had to get Jane to help us.
Yeah.
I was like,
or a breakdown of some kind.
Well,
she was like,
ring the insurance. The insurance were like, yeah, we're not going to come. So she rang them and shouted at them, and then somebody came to take the car away, said, take it to this garage, please. And they did, and it's never been seen since. And it's going to cost us about £2,000. I'm in contact with the garage, but they're just like not really giving us a time when it'll be fixed.
Well, that's garages for you, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're right cowboys, aren't they? Take your eyes out, those type of people.
Mm-hmm. Also,
grease monkeys. That's all I call them.
Brett, I've had too much contact with the blue-collar workers in the last 2 weeks.
Bloody grease monkeys.
I've also, it's been our anniversary, Jane's birthday, and it's Pearl's third birthday on Monday. So tomorrow, we're having a little party for our little toddler mates.
That'll be good then. Mm-hmm. Is it a frozen party?
Yes, of course it is.
Yes, I thought it might be.
It's a frozen party with some dancing, a little dance.
A dance troupe?
dance
is
lesson.
There a troupe? Oh, just a lesson. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's okay, isn't it? Everybody likes to be taught at that birthday party, don't they?
Of course. Well, it's not a maths lesson.
Taught to. They might sneak a bit of maths in.
Yeah.
So
one,
be very,
and two,
be wary
and one,
of that.
And two.
Exactly. Oh, no. I knew this would happen.
Thought it was meant to be fun. Anyway, so that's good. Looking forward to that. I'll report back on that next week.
Yeah.
But then the moms, the other moms are, I mean, I'm not involved in the communication. The other moms of the kids, the other kids who are coming.
Party moms.
The party moms are messaging, being like, are you providing food afterwards? Like,
what, like, to take home?
I wasn't planning on it.
Like a buffet.
Instead of the food, it's a dance party. So,
right. Feast on the dance. That's what you'll see.
Just soak, like, chew up those moves.
Isn't this good enough? The dance of life we're doing here?
Good enough.
Feast on that. Why don't you?
So, Brett, one of the things we were talking about somehow when we were out last time I saw you was the film Raw from 1981. And I've got no idea why we talked about it, but we decided to do it for this podcast after talking about it.
Yeah, I don't know why we're talking about it either, but it's always been at the back of my mind in that place. But, the front lobe's probably at the front, isn't it?
It probably is, yeah. The back lobe. I've never heard anybody say the word
the
back
lobe.
Lobe. I've never heard anybody say the back lobe.
I'm sure there's a lobe there. It lives there. So, yes, we're talking about that while you were complaining about your mushy peas. Mm-hmm. And I had, like, say, read stuff about it before. Reading that was the most dangerous film ever made. Mm-hmm. And you know what, Cliff? It is. Isn't it?
I think it is. Apart from that Twilight Zone one where the people died.
But that was an accident. This is the strangest thing I've ever seen in my life, I think.
So explain it's what weird. It is, Brett, and how you know about it, because I'd never heard of it before.
I think maybe where I'm getting it from is we're silly little quizzes. So I've looked at sort of accidents, let's say, in the movies, and I've read about it through that, and that's how the Twilight Zone and stuff like that we talked about before. That's how I found out about stuff like that. And obviously, I hadn't included it in the quiz because it's horrific and horrifying. So Dad didn't include it. But that's how I found it. But I never watched it because I don't want to be terrified. I don't want to see people in fear of their lives. I'm not a fan of these... can't remember that the sort of video nasty thing that was going around the 80s it was supposed to be real people's deaths and things like that. Film. I can't watch that. That kind of stuff will stay with us, man, and I can't watch it.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? I wouldn't want to. Yeah, of course it is. But like, it was quite popular. Faces of Death or something it was called.
Yeah.
So I think I've kept away from it for that reason, that, you know, it'll upset us or whatever. But you'd said, Brett, man up. Let's just watch it, man. So I had to watch it, and it's fucking awful and terrifying.
It's terrible, just terrible. But what is it for people who don't know what it is?
Are you wanting us to explain the plot?
I want you to say what it is.
What it? The whole thing.
This is a synopsis. You normally read it off IMDb.
Synopsis.
Do that.
I told you I haven't brought anything down. So the idea of this is a man who seemingly is living in Africa. Should we say it's Africa?
It's Kenya.
Right.
There's a map.
It's Kenya. That's in Africa. So
I was just pinpointing it a bit more.
Oh, well, pinpoint all you want. So this insane man lives. He's a scientist of some sort and needs to be very close to animals for his job and that. So he's living with 130 very, very dangerous animals. Panthers, lions, tigers. There's an elephant that lives down
the
road.
It's a really angry elephant, isn't it?
It's a very angry elephant. It doesn't like boats. So he's living with these animals and he's decided to invite his family over. Yes, there's cheetahs as well. He's decided, despite the danger to his family, I'll invite them over. I haven't seen them for a while. He hasn't told them, I don't think, that there's 130 wild, very, very dangerous animals living in his own house.
In his house. And also, he went out before they came around.
Well, that's the thing. So, yes. So he knows they're coming, but he just goes out for a bit with his mate. Obviously, this sets up a rather dangerous time for the family who arrive. Uh-huh. They arrive at the house. And when they do arrive, it's empty. There's no lions there. Where the 130 lions have gone? I've got no idea.
It's not there, right? They've gone.
Empty, this house. But obviously, it doesn't take very long for the lions and other dangerous animals to turn
mostly
up.
Mostly lions,
and terrorize. It's mostly lions, but there's other things there. Mm-hmm. You know, the tigers like capsizing boats.
That's one of your favorite bits. I was going to come on to that.
And the whole film is just the family in this house.
Brett, it's incredibly boring.
It's incredibly boring, right? You've got to watch it. It's like a car crash, isn't it? It's a boring car crash.
Well, I messaged you saying I couldn't believe what I was watching. So the thing is, it was made in 1981. I can't remember the people who made it. Noel Marshall, is that the name of the guy?
But yeah, he's the director. He's the main actor as well. The lunatic.
Yeah, and also the director. I would say he's more of a director than an actor. He's a terrible director on the basis of this, but he's an even worse actor.
And an even worse father.
And an even worse father and husband than that.
He certainly is.
So the thing is with this, they went on location. His wife is Tippi Hedren, not content with being terrorized by birds. She's now put herself in the grasps of wildcats.
She certainly has.
The daughter is Melanie Griffiths in what I presume was one of her first roles.
Yeah, Tippi Hedren's daughter, Noel's stepdaughter.
Oh, Melanie Griffiths is Tippi Hedren's daughter.
Tippi Hedren's daughter, yes, in real life for her.
I didn't know that. I'm just gonna have to take a second to think about it.
A very young Melanie Griffiths, as well,
but also quite
she does
sexual.
Seem to age. She does seem to age. I mean, I don't know what age. I can't comment.
I'm not saying I find her sexually attractive. I'm saying she, as a character, is
that's
quite
a
sexual.
Lie. That's a lie. That's a lie.
I said I'm not saying it.
Fair enough.
And then there's some fellas, two sons. One of them is the double of the dad.
Yes, that's his son. And the other one, who isn't the double of his dad, is also his son. So he's brought his whole family to be in this film.
Hang on. So the cast is also his family, as well as being the family in the film?
Yes.
Well, I didn't know that. That makes it even more fucking bonkers. Because
exactly
what you see in the film, which is this family being attacked very severely by big cats, is
with retractable claws. You see the claws retracting.
It's horrible. It's all happening. And it's essentially an hour and a half of people being mauled by lions and tigers.
It really is. And the other thing,
I couldn't believe what I was watching, Brett. Like, I genuinely couldn't believe it. I didn't know.
No,
I still don't really know what to think. I don't understand it.
It's a genuine attempt by Noel Marshall to have his whole family killed.
I mean, it's got to be.
It is.
And it really is. A murder suicide on film.
Well, he's just a lunatic. I mean, these animals, right? They went to, it's Hollywood and stuff like that. And they went to these, the animal trainers and stuff like that. This is what idea. We want to have 130 animals, you know, doing what they do or whatever. And the animal trainers have got them. That's impossible. It's mad. You need two trainers to each animal. And they've just gone, nah. I don't think we'll do that. What we'll do instead is get 130 just untrained So they're not trained like to be with the camera, to be with the crew or anything else. They've just got them in and just filmed it, basically. That's what they've done.
What we should add at this point is the film is billed as a comedy.
Which I'm sure, you know, Noel Marshall thinks it's funny. But that's because he's a lunatic.
It's not funny.
Not funny. There's a bit of a dub line where the lines come in with a zebra carcass.
Yeah.
Right? Yes, which is quite close to the start of the film. Yeah, it's real, a real carcass. And it's a blatantly dub line with Pippi Hedren going, look what the cat dragged in.
Yeah.
That's the only attempt at comedy in the whole thing.
There are bits of it that are quite funny, but like funny in a like, oh, what the fuck am I watching here? Like kind of behind, you've got your eyes covered kind of way, because it's genuinely mental. I can't believe, but he must have been rich, this guy, because who the fuck has put the money up for this film to be made? It must have been expensive because they had, they must have been in Kenya for years, I presume, to make.
Well, Tippi Hedren, what she said was, they were in safari in Africa, and there was an empty house that they went past, and all these lions had gone into the house, right? They'd made it their den, or whatever. So her and her husband, Noel, said, hey, that's a good idea. We should make a film about that, right? Also, they lived with a lion. So Melanie Griffith...
Mendel.
And Noel and Tippi Hedren, right? They in their Hollywood mansion, they live with a lion who they got from a Satanist man.
What the fuck? It was bad enough when I didn't know any of this stuff.
There you go. Also, so they live with a lion.
The plot of the film. That's
what
it.
Plot?
That's it.
Yeah. There's some very convoluted sort of stuff within the plot. Like at the start, these people turn up and you don't know who these people are in boats.
Nope.
You've got no idea who they
no
are.
No idea.
They instantly get attacked by the tigers.
Yep.
They sink the boat. They go, don't swim off. They'll get you. They'll get you. What are you supposed to do in water? Sink. You're just supposed to let yourself sink. Don't try and get away. And also, Noel, with these lions and stuff, if I was with 130 lions, one thing I wouldn't do was go to them.
You do love it all the time.
And smack them on the arse.
So it got like a re-release about 10 years ago or 15 years ago or something. And they tried to bill it as like the most shocking movie you'll ever see. And I don't know if you've seen this trailer on its re-release, but it's trying to be like clever. It's like the Jungle Book, but people get their arms bitten and that. It's like it's like Quentin Tarantino meets the Lion King. I mean, it's not, they're trying desperately to make it better because the concept of the film is so mad, people will watch it, and they're trying desperately to kind of make this bad boy thing out of it, and that it's this unbelievably, like, you've got to watch it, it's this video nasty thing. It's not even like that, it's just stupid and bad.
It's
and
stupid,
dangerous.
But it's incredibly dangerous, and I think that's the, you know, that's what they're trying to lean on. Originally, Tippi Hedren and Noel Marshall must have been on like acid or something. There must be something like that going on, because it's crazy, right? You wouldn't
but
do it. They've been told not to do it,
and they've
gone ahead with it and done it anyway.
And I'm not even joking, man. But they must have been out of their minds.
They must have been. I mean, they really must have been off their tits, because these animals, you see, these animals grab people, push them.
Well, Melanie Griffith,
you know,
had
grab
to get
people's
facial
hair.
Reconstructive surgery. Tippi Hedren almost had a scalp pulled off.
Jan de Bont? What about Jan de Bont? He was scalped.
He was scalped.
We wouldn't have had speed if he was killed, would we? We wouldn't have had that.
Marshall gets gangrene from all of his fucking cuts and bites and stuff.
Yeah, well, that's his own fault.
Yeah, I've got no sympathy for the fella.
I've got no sympathy for Mr. Marshall. Like I say, honestly, he's got his family in this room. I think he's just going to kill them.
He must have done.
There's a story about Melanie Griffith, and Melanie Griffith decided at the last minute, look, I don't want to be in this film. It's too dangerous. Despite the fact that I live with a lion myself in my home, who I'm friendly with, I don't want to do it. But there must have been some kind of pressure on or whatever to be in the film. So she eventually agreed. But the part where she's getting her, this lion's on top of her, and its claws are in her head,
yeah,
and it's biting her head and stuff like that. She had a safe word, you know, to sort of cut, and people would come in, but he ignored the safe word and just let it.
Her own dad,
stepdaughter. It's horrible.
It's insane. It's brutal. Like, you can't believe it. This is. I also feel sorry for the cats and the animals, because what the fuck are they involved in this for? Like,
they don't want to be in this film.
They're basically being antagonized to attack people for some madman's crazy vision of a film that every single person should have made sure it didn't happen. But these cats are being like filmed and jostled and cajoled. And they say a thing at the beginning like, no cats were harmed in this, no matter what it looks like, but plenty of people were.
That's not funny.
But also, one of the lions got shot dead. So
I think two of them did.
So they were.
Yeah, they were. That's a lie, isn't it?
It's absolutely disgusting.
I think there was a flood or something like that that killed the set, because the set with the lions is in America, it's not in Africa. And there was some kind of flood, and it destroyed the set, and the lions got free, so that the sheriffs had to shoot them. Do you know what I mean?
Insane.
It is completely insane. It's just ridiculous.
Let's take a little break and come back in 5 minutes or so and talk about some of the odd bits, the funny bits.
I want
to mention, especially the African fella, because I feel sorry for him.
I feel sorry for him as well.
Right, okay. Little break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
We're still on about Raw. Essentially, the film, man goes to Africa, has to live with cats for some kind of experiment, research. He invites his family over, who hasn't seen for ages. On their way there, Melanie Griffiths has given a bit of back chat to the mom, isn't she?
Is this the sexual bit?
This is the sexual bit. It's weird.
It is
weird. There's loads of parts of the film that are weird, and it's even more weird now that I know they're actually all related, because she says something about something teenagery. She's a young teenage girl anyway, or like 17, 18 or something like that. She says something teenagery, and Tippi Hedren, the mom, while they're on this bus going to the outback or wherever it is that they're going, says, "You teenagers, all you think about is sex." And she says, "Yeah, well, maybe you should try it sometime. Then maybe you and Dad wouldn't have split up." So you find out at this point that they're estranged. And she says, "Well, maybe you should practice restraint and something else. I can't remember."
But they're not really restrained, are they? You know, that's not the case, is it? All you know, that might be one of the reasons why he's invited them back to the house, and then
he's finally wants some sex.
it's creepy, that, isn't it? Especially when you know. I mean, it's
a weird line to put in for your daughter-in-law to say to your actual wife.
Again, I think there's a massive amount of hubris, right? Like, more than I've ever seen in any film, from Tippi Hedren and Noel Marshall in this film. It's insane.
I still can't believe it.
There's a bit at the start that there's that explanation, which probably is being put in on the re-release. But there's also this other part where we are very proud to sort of be aligned with the, you know, the national conservation of Africa. And it's the worst thing you could possibly do to show animals in their natural habitat. They don't want to be there, the animals.
So then
do you know what I mean?
And also, the animals are so much stars of this film, they should get a credit too.
Yeah.
So it like puts like Robbie up, who's the main one. Robbie plays himself or whatever. And there's a few different lions. And then there's one whose face is covered in blood from before the film starts.
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on?
It really is insane. It's almost like they've gone, "Well, we'll show the animals in this particular house or whatever. They're just playing. That's the idea of it. You know, these animals are just playing. They're just trying to be friendly. They're fucking dangerous animals. If they're playing,
they should be. They're
still
wild
slice
animals.
Your throat and chew your head off, which happened." Do you know what I mean? But in their hubris, they've gone, "Well, we'll just show them how they are." You know?
Honestly, one of my favourite bits at the beginning is when that tiger gets in a boat and he just sits in it. And it slowly capsizes because he's obviously massive, too big for the boat. I'm actually surprised how many big cats are just in the water a lot in this.
I know, they like the water, these cats, don't they? They certainly do. But, I mean, tigers and lions, do they mix in the wild?
I wouldn't have thought so, but I don't know.
A pack of lions, is there 130 of them?
I know.
It's all these, they've forced these animals into this situation, which is going to be stressful for them. Imagine like 20 lions in a house, right? They're not going to want to be there, man.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's all weird.
Yeah.
Tell you what, lucky for the family when they do turn up, there's a lot of wardrobes to hide in.
There's a lot of wardrobes. There's a lot of cupboards, because that goes on for half an hour where they're just
half
hiding
an hour,
in cupboards.
Just getting in a cupboard while the cats try and get at them.
Yeah. I tell you where I would high cliff if a lion was chasing us. A barrel of water.
Until the elephant gets a hat of me.
Until the lions start drinking from said water.
There's a bit about half an hour, 20 minutes or so before the end, when there's just some fellas in bandages with their face cut up and stuff.
Yeah, I thought, were they the people from the start?
They must have been the people from the start, but they get savaged and killed.
Yeah, because they decide to hunt the lions because of their injuries.
And
they're supposed to be the baddies of the piece, I think.
Marshall scares the lion off from killing them, so the lion doesn't get a bad name for killing the humans by running at the lion going, rah!
I mean, Marshall gets involved in, like, there's a pack dispute. There's a leadership dispute or something, isn't it, within the pack? And he gets involved. It's not his fucking job. These animals, right? They've lived for how many years? Let them be.
Yeah.
They don't need humans so getting essentially involved
Middle, like, 40 minutes or something of the film is just people trying to get away from cats. There's one bit where one of the sons, he just slowly rolls around the floor trying to pretend he's dead. But he's like rolling stuck, like with his arms like by his side, just rolling over. It's so weird. And then all of a sudden, it's all happy families again. The cats are on some skateboards.
Well, before then, one of the other sons, I'm not sure which one, tries to get away on a motorbike. And he does seemingly get away, but the cats are like smashing the wheels and that with their claws. And his idea at this is to ride on the top of the building and just fly off the top of it on the motorbike.
Somebody says, oh, he just drove the bike off the top of the building. We haven't mentioned the African chap very much. I like him. Mativo. He is absolutely terrified.
He is.
In real life. His character is, but in real life he is as well. Turns
you
up
can
the
see
beginning.
The fear in
you
his
can
eyes.
See it in his eyes from the start. Mm-hmm. And Marshall is like, yeah, come on in. The cats are all here. It's okay. I'm doing research and stuff. And you just keep saying, not today. However, then he goes on a massive adventure with him all day, which is fraught with danger. Yeah.
Well, to be honest, Noel, this is the weird thing about it, isn't it? Noel Marshall is the director. He's the father of the family in real life and obviously on the film. But he takes himself out of the situation, doesn't he? He gets away from the cats. I mean, in the sort of 15 minutes that he is with them, he's a lunatic and he's hitting them, smacking them on the arse.
Shot where he's standing and a tiger just fucking launches itself at him and knocks him over. Yeah. It is one of the... It's so shocking. This film is shocking, but not in any of the ways that it hopes it is, I think.
It does that to Mativo as well. I mean, you can imagine this guy is an actor and he's thinking, right, this is me big break, right? You know? I'm going to be in this Hollywood film because Tippi Hedren was saying all kinds of stuff like that. This is going to make millions. This is going to make absolute millions.
I don't know how anybody
mortgage that three houses or something.
They were out of their minds. This film was never going to make any money. It's the most ludicrous film I've ever seen in my life.
Well, it's been called the most expensive home video ever made, hasn't it? That's what they say. But you can imagine this African actor who's gone, right, this is me big break, and he's been chucked in with fucking lions, like untrained
lions. You can see
lions.
That it feels like in that first scene, he doesn't realise that's what's going to happen, and his eyes just suddenly go fucking massive, and he's like, not today. No, count me out.
I mean, they keep trying to get his jacket, don't they?
They keep trying to get his jacket. So anyway, then in the end, just happy families. They're all right. The cats are skateboarding. They're having a nice picnic on the veranda.
That's the thing. They've kind of gone. This is absolute chaos, right? I don't know what the idea of the film, what the plan of the film was. But it's obviously to show these animals in a good light and in a nice light. Obviously, that isn't the case. So at the end of the film,
it's fine though. The animals, they shouldn't be in it at all. Like,
no,
shouldn't be in a good
animals,
light, bad light, or whatever. The wild animals.
The animals shouldn't be there. The actors shouldn't be there. None of them should be there. But then they've probably looked at the dailies or whatever, and they've gone, actually, it looks a bit dangerous.
I didn't realise at the time, but that one with blood all over his face. That keeps this ripping things apart. That carries a zebra carcass in.
This isn't the tone we're looking for, to be honest. So there's this weird shift at the end of the film where the family go to sleep in a separate cabin. The lions obviously get in, but they're all cuddly and nice and they don't touch them. And they'll go,
the music. Hey,
you know what? They're just trying to play these lions. They're just trying to be nice.
They're just trying
after their heads have been ripped off.
It's like music like from Sesame Street or something, isn't it? You know, yeah, on Sesame Street where you just had clips of the African American kids like playing hopscotch and stuff. Yeah. It was like music from that, like do 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 do.
It's like they've tried to turn it into Disney or something, like at the end, and everybody's just gonna forget about all the other stuff that's gone on.
But we all know, Brett, those live action Disney films, absolutely terrible.
They are. Well, I'm not a Disney fan anyway, to be perfectly honest with you. But it's so weird. There's a part in the middle of the film where the lions are chasing the family, and it's like the music's like Jaws. The music's terrible, by the way.
The music is absolutely awful. And there's a couple of like happy-go-lucky singer-songwritery songs that are like, I don't know.
They're the worst. It's like
James Taylor type.
Someone's gone, oh, Paul McCartney writes nice little jangly songs. Let's copy him.
I think it's fucking awful. James Taylor-y. Like, it's weird. You think? But then you realise, obviously, it's not anybody famous or good. And these songs are absolutely dreadful, much in keeping really with the rest of the film.
So, but again, it's very Disney, isn't it? The lyrics the songs. Yeah. Very, very Disney.
Like, I've never thought about it before, but I think you're right. Like, they were obviously trying to portray something, which is why they've stuck with it being a comedy, and it isn't. Or at least it was pitched that way to whoever was going to distribute it. Because I think you're right. That guy, his behaviour is outrageous. He must have been trying to get rid of his family for some reason.
That's the only conclusion.
Even in the film, you've just said it. When the real danger happens, he absents himself from the situation.
And he's probably going, oh, I'm directing now. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is my job. I'm out of the picture. Imagine what's going through his mind when it's actually happening, right? He's on the other end of the camera and he's watching his whole family. The fact that his whole family could be killed at any second.
That's what I mean. They must have lost all actual sense, because there's no way any of this should have happened.
It really isn't. It's not entertaining. There's no story to it. The animals don't deserve what they've been put through. The actors don't deserve what they've been put through. It's a fucking disgrace. And when you're watching it, it's like, it is boring. You're right about that. You've hit the nail on the head. It's boring. But it's also like, what the fuck am I
it's
watching?
It's boring because it's the same thing for an hour. It's just people hiding in cupboards with cats trying to get them.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, well, what's the story? Like, what's the point of this? Uh-huh. There's no point of it other than putting humans in danger and antagonizing wild big cats.
Yeah.
The guy should have been arrested or something. Like, they had the fucking cheek of putting that thing at the beginning about being American animal conservation charity and proud to be part of it and stuff. It's a fucking disgrace.
It really is.
Anyway, that's so, raw. So go watch it.
Do watch it, you know, just to see it, I guess. It's on YouTube. You don't have to, don't buy it. That's all.
No, there's a YouTube link. Watch it on there.
Definitely don't buy the fucking thing, because like it's trash. But you know, watch it on YouTube because it's free. But did Tippi Hedren and Noel Marshall's marriage last, Cliff?
I'm going to say no, but I don't know for sure.
Yes, they definitely didn't.
She disappeared in mysterious circumstances.
No, she didn't. But there you go. But it is completely insane. And the worst thing, it's like, you know, it's like the Tories have made a film. That's what I say. It's like they're showing you something and then trying to tell you that it's something else.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're going, well, it's not this. I know it's not this. Oh, yeah, it is.
It's a comedy.
That's what I say.
And everyone was
it's a
fine.
Comedy.
I know you've got a quiz for us, Brett, but I've got two more things to mention. And also, my laptop is quite low on battery. You know the actor or actress, whatever, I don't know what the correct term is, Marcia Gay Harding? You know that name?
Yes, I know the name.
Do you have any idea who she is or what she looks like?
The name rings a bell, but I can't picture her face.
All right, good, same. Also, I was just flicking through my TV and there was a show on called Bin Laden's Hard Drive. Which I'm going to have to watch.
Yeah, we'll do the first one. Definitely.
Bin Laden's
Hard Drive. Do you know what's the synopsis?
I don't know, but... Is there even any plugs in the cave?
Well, he wasn't even there anyway, was he? He was in Pakistan.
Going off a generator or something. Anyway, seems to be a few of your type of shows, conspiracy theories and that, have popped up on the show, on the box. So I'm going to at least give one of them a try tomorrow. I'll let you know how they go. You got a quiz?
Good. Yes, I think so. It's probably rubbish.
Is it about big cats?
Again, I have no notes. So there you go. It's a bit of a different thing for me.
Is it about big cats?
No. Question number one. What film was Spunk a mouse in?
War Games?
No, it wasn't. He was Mr. Jingles in The Green Mile was Spunk a mouse.
Well, his actual name was Spunk.
Yes.
Okay.
Might be Australian. Could be. They like saying that, don't they?
Yeah, that's why I said it.
They really do. Right, you're never going to get this right, but you've got to guess the film where this accident occurred.
Okay, fuck
okay. Man. Cameraman Michael Benson suffered lung injuries after a helicopter crash left him trapped for 2 days inside a Hawaiian volcano crater.
Is it... what was that one we were talking about with the monkeys?
It's not that one.
It's not that.
Congo.
Congo, yeah.
That's not that.
It's not Congo. Okay. Tell us.
Give it another guess.
Helicopters. Jurassic Park.
I'm afraid it's Sliver.
Really?
My
favorite film to reference.
It's
of
your
all
favorite
time.
Film? Yes. Apparently, it was from some shot at the beginning, which they had to abandon.
I mean, there's no Hawaii.
We've seen Sliver. It's in
times, I can't remember.
A tower block.
It's a New York tower block.
Yeah, a man spies on, like, he's a voyeur. I've got no idea how
Sliver,
that happened.
I think I've told you before, but there's people that work with, like, more than one screen, like, on their computer. Every time I see anybody with more than one screen, I'm compelled to say, well, Sliver, is it? Obviously, nobody has a fucking clue what I'm saying or what I'm talking about, but I can't not say it. Anytime I see anybody with more than one screen or with like a split screen, yeah. Oh, Sliver, is it?
Cliff, are these screens black and white, are they?
Grainy. Big grainy footage.
Big grainy.
Actually, I think Sliver is one of the better films of that genre.
Do you? To be honest, I've only seen the good bits, Cliff. Right. Bob Hoskins was stabbed nearly. Ooh. Well, he wasn't stabbed nearly four times. He was stabbed four times.
Okay.
He was electrocuted. He was nearly drowned. But what film was he working on when all those catastrophes happened to him, Cliff?
I'm going to say Super Mario Brothers.
Yes, and that's right. Well done. How was he nearly stabbed four times in Super Mario Brothers? who knows? Benny from the Bronx.
Who played Luigi? Was it him?
Benny from the Bronx?
Was it?
John. Hi.
John
Leguizamo.
He's got an autobiography, by the way, which is absolutely incredible.
You can imagine that he's had a good life, him.
Because he's like, he kind of like went out of the limelight, right? Because he's difficult. And this book is all about how he doesn't give a fuck about that. And he's like, you know, he's an outcast, but whatever. and it's just all him like kind of settling scores, and it's just a massive personality. It's really good.
Yeah, I like him, man.
My computer's going to die, so let's finish it up.
Okay, do I have to do it very quickly then?
Yeah, what is it?
All right,
what's
then.
Next?
Which other very famous actor from the same type of era was also mauled by a lion on set in the film Napoleon and Samantha?
Don't know what that film is, but I'm going to say Windsor Davies.
It was Jodie Foster. That's who that okay. was.
Similar, was you, had, you made us think it yeah. was Bob Hoskins. Similar to Bob Hoskins, Jodie Foster.
Similar. She's very similar to Bob Hoskins' clip. Very similar.
Okay.
Another accident. Who, whilst, well, I'll not say that because that'll give you the answer. Who sustained gashes to his back from multiple weapons, hypothermia, a separated shoulder from carrying a giant cross, and was also struck by lightning while filming the Sermon of the Mount scene?
Jim Caviezel?
Yes, well done to that. Well done. And that's it.
Okay, well, I quite like that quiz. It was good. Well done.
Mm, thanks.
Well,
we've got music.
We have some music.
This week we've got music from Ollie Winder, Cliff.
Mm-hmm, nice.
With Manchester, You're My Heaven. Well, it's from his latest EP.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, you're looking quite like Johnny Marr tonight, so that's pretty good.
Am I?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
So let's hear it for Ollie Winder. Thank you for listening, everyone. Hope you enjoyed us being back for a proper show. And we'll catch you next time with something else. See you later.
Sliver. With Sliver.
Sliver. Let's do Sliver. Right. See you later.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.